Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words. This is Heritage Radio Network, and I'm your host, Kathy Irway. We're here, as usual, at Roberta's Pizza in Brooklyn, and we just had a really hot week, so hopefully now we've gone through the worst of it, and we're ready to cook again, I hope so, and shop at the Green Market, because I have an all-star group of guests today, and they are here to celebrate a new cookbook called Green Market to Gotham. It's written by Chef Alfred Portelli, who's in the house. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Great to be here.
Thanks so much for coming here.
My pleasure.
And also your business partner, managing editor. Managing editor. Wow. General manager of Gotham Bar and Grill, Brett Census. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us. Great to be here.
And we also have Union Square Green Market General Manager or Editor, something like that, David Hughes.
Operations Manager is fine. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that I nailed everyone's title so well. So this new cookbook, Gotham to Green Market to Gotham, nailing that one as well, just came out in June, the end of June. It's a recipe journal, and it's all vegetarian as well.
That's right, Kathy. We... For, I think, 4 years now, we've had a dining program in the summer that we call Green Market to Gotham. And we feature 12 farms for 12 weeks. And the idea is to create a menu around each of the farmers and what they're producing and what is sort of at the peak of its
season. So spotlighting each one by
exactly.
The week, yeah.
And, you know, we're in our fourth year now, and we decided to really kind of celebrate and honor the farmers in a way, and we put out this recipe journal that sort of tracks some of our more popular dishes.
Yeah, the highlights from the
exactly.
years.
It's a highlight reel.
Seriously, and I love how it is a journal because you do go in depth and talk about the farmers and their produce and also the winemakers too. You have some wine pairing suggestions throughout it.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And, you know, we're Gotham Bar and Grill, you know, for 30 years. We've been two blocks from Union Square Market and have had a very long history with using the market and you know, a great relationship with many of the farmers. So it just made sense for us to do this.
Well, and we also, I think it's one of the reasons we called it a recipe journal is it's we've got three books that Alfred's put together with, you know, hard cover, and they're beautiful, and they've got hundreds of recipes in it. And this was meant to be a little bit more simple. And it's got just 36 recipes, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert that are inspired by an individual farm over the course of 12 weeks. So 12 weeks on 12th Street, three-course menu,
awesome.
36 recipes.
And they're accessible, too. I mean, they look... the technique is definitely way above and beyond my home kitchen, but I think that, you know, looking through it, it looks like something that I could roll up my sleeves and really get into.
Yeah, the way to look at the book is, first of all, the appetizers are all, I'm sure, within your wheelhouse. They're very simple. We have something as simple as a spicy arugula salad with fresh strawberries and a simple vinaigrette and some shaved pecorino. The entrees are a little more time-consuming, and the reason for that is, you know, we're Gotham Bar and Grill, and we're trying to create food sort of in the style of the restaurant. So mm-hmm. how to do that. But the way that I think the best way to use the book is to make the appetizers, but look at the entrees and as component recipes and use them. Just take one of the components and use it as a side dish. You know,
lovely.
There's a great caponata recipe. There's a, you know, roasted fennel. There are a number of...
Or your spaghetti puttanesca recipe. Maybe I can toss that on top of a fish or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sauce. Yum. Mm-hmm. Let's flash back a second because Gotham Bar & Grill is now 30 years old. It's been around since 1985. And Green Market just celebrated its 37th anniversary. And that was a really fun night market last Wednesday to celebrate that.
Yes, it was... It was extremely hot that day, but we had a great night. We mm-hmm. basically we had a night market on just last Wednesday at Union Square. We stayed open until 8 p.m. We had 12 restaurants come in, set up, and sell delicious food. We had Brooklyn Brewery served beer,
and really good beer. And we had Green Market Wheat, yum.
Green Market Wheat beer was fantastic, and we had a great band there. So, and that was an accident, actually, mm-hmm. I have to say, that date was picked. We just realized after we picked it that it was
the 37th anniversary.
That's our birthday. So it kind of worked out very
well. Well, it was a great birthday party.
So that was 37 years in Union Square, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think, you know, it started on 59th Street, I think July of 76. And very shortly thereafter, it was at Union Square, I think sometime in August.
So, yeah. And back in 1976... And in 1985, the Union Square area was a very different place. The restaurants there weren't thought to be the best, you know, ones in town, for sure. And the Union Square was a little bit of a rough-and-tumble place. I remember some of the farmers would have horror stories about finding needles in their spot the next morning when they're setting up. And but that's really evolved. And so tell me a little bit, Alfred, because you've been with Gotham since the beginning. How exactly did you decide to start sourcing from the Green Market, and how unusual or challenging was that?
Well, you know, it's for chefs, a major source of inspiration is our ingredients, mm-hmm. whether it be a Bluefoot chicken or
Bluefoot chicken. Awesome.
We're talking about chickens. So it makes sense. It made sense to me to, walk through the market. It's there, it's there 4 days a week, and I would just walk through it. Mm. And when I was thinking about menu and changing dishes, and see what the farmers were producing, and just be inspired by ingredients.
Yeah.
And of course, it was practical for us to buy from the Green Market because we're so close.
We were 12 East 12.
We're able to, send over somebody with a hand truck. Mm-hmm. And in fact, some of the farmers, before they set up, drop product with us.
Perfect.
So we're very, very fortunate to be that close to the market.
Yeah, I think we highlighted in the book the progression that I think both Grow NYC and the Green Market has over the last 30 years, as well as at Gotham. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure that we point out that we actually opened in 84.
84.
We'll be 30 next March, which we're looking forward to celebrating. And Alfred did join just 1 year afterwards. And
right.
I think it should be pointed out, too, that Alfred, after that 1 year, reimagined the restaurant and recreated it in what it is today. And a lot of that was inspired by ingredients. At the time in the U.S. Was a period known as the New American Cuisine Movement, which was all about ingredients. And he had just come back from France where ingredients were abundant. Mm. And, he talks about it in the book. He found it a little frustrating at times in New York that you just couldn't find that high-quality ingredient. So Grow NYC Green Market has really improved that landscape for chefs and for consumers in New York.
I just pulled a couple of things out of the book that you said, Brett. You said it was a portal between the farm country and the professional kitchen, the marketplace. And it really is. And it's invaluable for our producers that you guys come there and shop. Because you know, for some of them, it's part of the reason they come to market, that they have that business, they have that security. And also you inform them. You will say to them, can you grow me X or can you grow me that? And they'll strive their hardest to do that. And we'll end up having, you know, a great product, a diverse product, a fresh product at market because the chefs want it. And that's good for everybody.
And then they grew it.
Correct.
That's fascinating. So, David, you've been there for 12 years at Union Square now. And did you ever think that this, the market, I don't know if it, like, at first it was surprising to find restaurants sourcing their restaurant, you know, products from the green market. Has it really picked up and this is more common each year?
I think, Alfred, I'm sure, would say it's always been there, but not to the extent that it is today. I mean, we have, you know, a steady 50 to 100 restaurants in there every week shopping and sourcing from us. Some are exceedingly loyal. So it's definitely a growing movement, and it's a great movement for that reason.
But it's the restaurant business is the same thing. I mean, both the farmer and the restaurant world has changed dramatically over the last 25, 30 years. And in many ways, I think that the two have grown together.
And how do you think it has changed most dramatically in the last 20, 30 years?
How has it changed most dramatically? I mean, I think I would probably defer to Alfred on the ingredient side, but I think that it's safe to say that the accessibility of quality ingredients is much better today, and the demand from the restaurants helps establish that for the farmers. Mm-hmm. I think the unique thing about the Union Square Green Market is that relationship that has evolved between the chef and the farmer, and together, I think they've helped each other improve.
It is synergistic. Yeah, it is. Completely.
And Alfred, you're obviously like a pioneer of this farm-to-table movement with the Gotham Bar and Grill. And I know that you're very close to the green market. What would you do if you had to choose a different location and it weren't so easy? Or what happens, you know, what were some of the challenges of getting a lot of quantity?
Well, you hit on something, actually, that was a challenge for us early on because, you know, Gotham is a big restaurant.
Right.
It's about 165 seats. We're on 12 East 12th Street. And it's a busy, it's a very lively restaurant. And it wasn't always practical. You would see a chef there on his bicycle, loading up the
very
baskets,
yeah.
You know, to go do a special that night. But we needed quantity. now, that's not to say that we would not pick some beautiful herbs or, you know, strawberries or something as a garnish, but it really evolved into using the market, us using the market more and more and more. I mean, I was introduced to fingerling potatoes in this country at Union Square Market. I mean, there were two people growing it, or I think it was one person growing them. And I remember David Boulay and I bought all of the potatoes. And we bought like 5,000 pounds of potatoes. And she stored them for us and then delivered them, you know, once every couple of weeks.
And look what's happened now.
Yeah, now, you know.
Now you can't find other kinds of potatoes. Well, you can.
Now they're in the food department at Duane Reade.
Can you tell me who started the ramp thing? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, foraging is just a relatively new phenomenon. And, I mean, ramps have been around a while, and they are available in the market. Because I don't know if you've ever seen them out in the wild, but when you come across ramps, there are thousands of them. They grow in huge quantity.
I hear they only grow near the water, though. They like the watery
wetlands. But I'm not sure where it originated.
I can't figure that out. Do you know, David?
For as long as I've been there, which is I've always seen them, the wild leeks, as some people call them. I guess you can't cultivate them. You have to just forage for them, and many farmers have them, as you said, in a huge abundance on their properties or near their properties, and they're astounded to bring this in, and they can sell it in the quantities that they do.
Yeah.
I think one of the farmers that we feature in here, Rick Bishop, actually, I was talking to him
earlier.
Rick Bishop from Mountain Sweetberry
Farm.
That's
right, Mountain Sweetberry.
He actually has a GPS system where he plots out exactly where the ramps were last year and where he thinks they're going to go this year, and forages and brings in by the truckloads.
Wow.
This huge amount of fresh ramps.
That's fun.
But I think ramps, I mean, it's safe to say that they've been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's more probably of an indication of what has transpired in both the restaurant and the market scene, is that people have become more aware of them, so creating this phenomenon that
Yeah. That I think also they're the harbinger of spring. It's the first thing we see that's green in the market. So there's a huge kind of hubbub about it.
True. There's like nothing for a long time.
Spring is here. Ramps are back. And what's kind of beautiful about them, too, is just the short season. I kind of like that about them. It's 4 weeks. You eat them, you enjoy them, and you look forward to next year again. So
except if
you're pickling
them.
We pickle them
and use them throughout the summer. But, you know, we talked a lot about how the relationship between the farmers and the chefs were instrumental in growing the market. But, you know, I think a lot could be said about the average person who's shopping in the market and how the awareness of food over the last 20 years has grown and multiplied, and how discerning people are and how knowledgeable about food and ingredient and quality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also been instrumental in driving the market and demand.
I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, we have, part of what we do on the ground is, we have a manager station. We educate our customers. Sometimes they'll educate us, but they definitely have very specific questions, and they demand excellence. And that's been increasing over the years I've been there. I've seen that
synergy.
Yeah, and it all plays back into raising the quality.
And that's interesting, Ian, with the customers, average shoppers, as well as restaurants. We're going to cut to a quick little commercial interlude, and we'll be right back to finish our conversation with Chef Alfred Portelli, Brett Census from Gotham Bar and Grill, and David Hughes of the Green Market.
You're listening to The Crying Blues by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from Eat Your Words.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese, made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Red Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow, with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And point-of-origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Listening again to Eat Your Words, and we're chatting with folks who helped write Green Market to Gotham, a recipe journal, and Chef Alfred Portelli, chef of Gotham Bar and Grill. Why did you decide to self-publish this book? You've written three other cookbooks that are very well renowned and beautiful, and as Brett was saying earlier, they're very substantial. They have 100 or so recipes in them. And then you went off on your own.
Well, Brett and I both have our own reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, we were under a time constraint. And we thought the only way to get this published and out by the beginning of summer, which is when we wanted it, this was a good course to take. And not only that, you know, we had fun internally producing the book, and unlike my three books, we really involved a lot of the restaurant personnel in the production of it.
Mm-hmm.
Brett's wife was involved in the writing and did an outstanding job. And the photography was done by a woman from Grow NYC. So
Amanda Gentile.
It was a much more of a collaborative effort than my previous books. That's the route we took.
Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of the collaboration too, because you're so hands on when you get to self publish that you know you've written up these wonderful like farmer profiles. And, you know, you had that freedom.
Yeah, I think that the decision was also driven partly by, it's sort of a hybrid self-publishing, because we did have a partner who shared.
Actually printed it, yeah.
Who did the printing and the graphic design work. But like Alfred said, it really pulled the team at Gotham mm-hmm. into it. So all the chefs were, you know, working on establishing what the recipes would be and presenting them to Alfred for, you know, him to review and tweak. We did all the photography at Gotham with the chefs there, Alfred and his sous chefs styling it. It was it was done rather quickly. I think we did it in probably two months' time.
It looks beautiful. And I understand a portion of the proceeds are going to the Green Markets Education. What programs?
I think it's the youth education program.
Yeah,
which we've worked for the last 3 years with some of the programs, Learn to Grow It, Eat It program, as well as the Learn to Grow program, which are both public school based programs that Grow NYC runs, and they've been fantastic to work with the kids and been very inspirational for us and for our staff. And I certainly hope we had the equal effect on the kids.
And but. I know Grow NYC. Consider you a valuable friend and a good partner. And you've also played host to our annual fundraiser, I believe. Yes. Toast to Our
Taste
Town.
Taste of the yeah. Green Market?
Toast to Our Town. I think.
Toast of Our Town.
Twice you've done that for us.
And yeah, the last 2 years we had a we closed the restaurant and we had a fundraising dinner for Grow NYC, which was quite a success and a lot of fun.
Yes, we'll be sure to invite you. This year we had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Alex Guarnaschelli was cooking with us, as well as some other chefs.
So fun.
Alex was a huge Green Market shopper.
Yeah, and Mark Forgione was with us, and it was an exciting exciting night and very successful.
And Harold Deedley was the other chef, just to be fair to all the chefs.
Oh my gosh, that's so much fun. So Chef Portelli, how hard is it to transcribe or translate restaurant recipes into actual recipes in a cookbook? You've had some experience.
That's just it. I've done it so many times. I mm-hmm. think the first book, the Gotham Bar and Grill cookbook, which is still a favorite, I had to make a lot of adjustments. I mean, we went as far as purchasing a regular apartment-style stove and installing it in the kitchen so that the BTUs and the cooking times were going to work.
Now, that is generous. Just for us?
So,
thank you.
So we were pretty pretty efficient at mm-hmm. At testing the recipes. The way it worked is I wrote the recipes and made, you know, guesstimates as to cooking times and amounts and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gave them to our chefs to taste, or test rather, and adjust. And it went really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the styling, I shot the book all in the restaurant during service in the evening, which is how I shot my other three books for the most part. And that way, you know, trying to go to a studio and the food just doesn't have the same immediacy as you know, coming right off the line, and we plate it, and we
production. It's totally different.
We actually did. It was remarkable how many dishes we could shoot in a 4-hour period. You know, it went very quickly. We had fun with it.
We had 4 hours because at 8 o'clock it was do or die in the restaurant, and we had to be finished, otherwise people would be tripping over all the equipment.
Well, well done.
And I got to say, it looks, it just looks really accessible. I mean, just for the avid home cook.
Isn't it's
just,
it? Yeah.
It's a book you can pick up, and you spoke about hot temperatures in this very warm week, but so many of these recipes look, I mean, there's
the corn soup is killing me right now, just looking at it. And, you know, I've made corn soups, I guess, chowders, maybe a chilled one there. I don't know, did you pass this through a fine mesh sieve?
Of course
get
I
it?
Did.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that much. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was great. And the recipe on the cover, this past weekend, you know, it was so hot. And it's just the most beautiful, simple salad. It's a summer melon salad. Mm-hmm. So you take, you know, cantaloupe and honeydew and watermelon and dress it with some lime juice. Mm. And then we added, you know, whatever we found in the garden, snow peas, sugar snaps.
Get some fresh mint there, too.
And fresh mint to brighten it up. Just a very cooling, perfect summer salad.
It is, isn't it? And I have to just wonder, I have to ask, was there any dishes that you can recall or maybe a type of preparation that just can't make it work for writing in a cookbook as a recipe?
Well, generally, we try to keep both, all the recipes kind of user-friendly. I mean, we didn't set out to do a coffee table book that you could just look at the pictures.
Or molecular gastronomy.
Yeah, so, you know, the ingredients are all accessible in the market or in, you know, a fine supermarket. And techniques, while we wanted to stay true to the style of some of the dishes, we pretty much simplified and made it so that people could cook from it and enjoy it in their own home. That was our main goal.
Fascinating. And, you know, we talked to Brett, you mentioned, like, the restaurant industry has changed a lot in the last 30 years. It's been, the green market has changed a lot. And Chef Portelli, you've been a chef for so long and, you know, so many awards won. How do you think that your maybe perspective on food or cooking styles have changed or evolved?
We're constantly evolving. A lot of the basic principles I use when creating a dish and serving a dish at Gotham have not changed. I mean, the fundamentals, the principles in which I work within are sort of tried and true. You know, certainly we try to adjust to changing, you know, economic times and personal tastes and for health reasons. I think that the food is lighter now. It's more, it's healthier in a way. You know, we're not using as much butter, you know, which softens flavors. Mm-hmm. We tend to keep the flavors pure.
Pure, yeah.
Our presentation, which we're very well known for, has been a little bit more relaxed. Mm-hmm. The food is still beautiful, but it's changed. Mm. And, you know, we basically take our cues from, you know, all the influences around us and sort of changing customer
fascinating
tastes.
There's always a dialogue at Gotham about where somebody has eaten, what they had, how was that done, and then there's a lot of playing that happens with the chefs in Alfred, who will go out to dinner and come back and say that, you know, he had the most amazing pea something or another, and then they'll try to recreate it, and it's a place that grows on a daily basis. It's very organic.
Thank you so much for sharing. My final question, I would like all of you guys to maybe chime in. What do you think is the next it ingredient from the green market? The next ramps, the next fingerlings?
Gosh.
Well, Union Square, what should I got?
What I would say is, you know, cooking is it's a challenge at times because, you know, we're using the same kind of basket of ingredients, but the farmers have managed every year to come up with unique things. Mm-hmm. You know, this year there's, I don't even know what they're calling it. There's this green that's being produced that tastes like a fresh peas, but it's this leafy green that one of the farmers were producing. Another one is this different varieties of basil and the rainbow carrots. So, you know, I don't know what's coming next, but there's been lots of fun things coming out of the market.
I'll have to scout out that pea tasting green.
Rick Bishop this year had some really interesting sugar snaps, purple sugar snaps, yeah. And yellow ones that he
had an interesting broccoli too, like a leafy broccoli that was amazing.
Rick is an incredible guy. Yeah. He really is.
But I think kale is still king right now.
Kale is the one.
Kale is king.
And TriStars are in now. We have a huge flush of TriStar strawberries right now. And
oh, okay.
They're always incredible. They're just an amazing.
Still going. Fruit. I gotta go scout those out.
Yeah.
Love it. Love that when all the still got strawberries and there's peaches and nectarines and plums and exciting times. But once again, thank you all to. Thank you so much for sharing more about this wonderful cookbook, which you can find at Gotham Bar and Grill's website. It's called Green Market to Gotham. You can also taste out some of the dishes that they're doing throughout the summer, weekly as the seasons change. And
you can always visit us. We're sure to have something on the menu from the book.
12 East 12th Street. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to come to Union Square Green Market and get the ingredients, source them there.
Absolutely. GrowNYC.org. Love you guys. All right. Thanks again, and have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh, I like the way you do.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. That he